Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio program on Radioactive San Diego. I'm Jake, your host for the next couple of hours. Later on in the show, we're going to have, well, first of all, plenty of music, plenty of news about media. And then for the second half of the show, we're going to have an interview with Amanda Marcot from Pandagon.net, the fun and smart writer of political things. Anyhow, I think I've picked yet another new theme song, so let's kick it off. Oh, wait, I have to turn this knob first. That would have been disastrous had I not turned this knob.
We'll be right back. sing along. Babble, babble, bitch, bitch, rebel, rebel, party, party, sex, 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 and don't forget the violence. Blah, 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 got your lovey-dovey, sad and lonely, stick your stupid slogan in. Everybody sing, are you motherfuckers ready? What a new shit, stand up and admit, I'm all never coming. This is a new shit, stand up and admit, do we get it? No, do we want it? No. Sing along. Everything has been said before. Nothing left to say anymore. But it's all the same. You can ask for it by name. Are you motherfucking ready? What a new shit. Stand up and admit. Come on, never coming. This is a new shit. Stand up and admit. Do we get it? No. Do we want it? No. This is a new shit. I got the you know what. Stick it, you know where, you know why, you don't care. Now it's you know who. I got the you know what. Stick it, you know where, you know why, you don't care. Now it's you know who. I got the you know what. Stick it, you know where, you know why, you don't care. Now it's you know who.
Listening to Radioactive San Diego. That was just Marilyn Manson doing This Is the New Shit, which actually I think that's, I like that song a lot. I mean, it's a, in some ways it's sort of your standard industrial rock thing, but just lyrically, it's like that really nails a lot of the media, you know. What's the chorus? Chorus is babble, babble, bitch, bitch, rebel, rebel, party, party, sex, 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 and don't forget the violence. How'd it go then? I think it says something about, got your sad and sentimental, sad and lonely, stick your stupid slogan in, everybody sing along. That's, what is it? That's television, that's movies, that's music. Then later on he's got a bit where he talks about, I've got the you-know-what, I stick it you-know-where. And to me that's reminiscent of, the type of sex that does get on television. You know, there's so much talk. Oh, it's so much sex and violence on TV. Well, really, all the sex that's on TV, it's just like innuendo and cleavage. I mean, it's never like, you know, you never see like an actual sex scene on the television, hardly. It's always, you know, scantily clad people or people making like these really, you know, sort of bad, you know, sexual innuendo jokes. You know, of course, now that I say that, I can't think of any examples. Although probably the one that... The possible example that went most unused, I think, in the history of television. In the 80s, there was a bad family sitcom called Growing Pains. And the young teen heartthrob character, his best friend was named Boner. And I'm pretty sure that they did not once make a joke about his name being Boner. For that song, we had Ghost Mice doing I Dare You to Live Forever. And started off with maybe a new theme song, Bad Religions Part 2, The Numbers Game. If you want to make a request, hop on your instant messenger, either the AOL or Yahoo varieties. Send a message to Radioactive SD, and we will chat. I will accept. I will humbly accept your recommendation and play it if it is available and is not bad. Or if you want to say hello, do the same thing. Instant messenger. Later on in the program, as I mentioned, we're going to have Amanda Marcotte on. If you want to ask her a question, I'll have her on over the phone, so you can't call in with like questions. You'll have to send me a instant message and say, "I'd like to know what Amanda thinks about crawdads," and there we go. We're off and running, asking Amanda about crawdads. What we got later on in the show? Going to play a little. Rage Against the Machine, a little bit of a butterfly just flew into the studio. Little Heart. It's got some Nine Inch Nails. Got some. Amanda is from Austin, Texas. She has sent me some sound files of some of her fave Austin-based bands. So we'll be getting a little bit of Texan garage rock, I think, in the mix. Got to give you a little media news because I gots to. As many of you might know, Free Radio San Diego, not exactly a sister station, but some compañeros in internet or in radio in San Diego, they were actually an over-the-air illegal broadcast station. Well, I guess not exactly illegal. I think they went with this potential loophole that's in, I believe it might even be in the Patriot Act, where it says that in the time of war or emergency, that if you submit an application to become a radio station to the FCC, and you can go ahead and start broadcasting before they officially tell you yes or no. And I believe they did that, so they are I'm going to call them a quasi-legal pirate station. Anyhow, the FCC apparently disagrees with that potential legal loophole. They came by last week and raided the station. Nobody was at the station at the time, so no one was arrested or fined or anything. They just went in there, busted in like thugs, and took a bunch of their equipment. They say they want to get back on the air as soon as possible, and they also have challenged Radioactive to a game of kickball, apparently. I think they will be defeated. I don't know if I will join in the kicking. I'm not a skilled athlete, and we know that you need high levels of skill and agility to play kickball. What else have I got here in the news? Let's see. Ah, yes, the Pensacola News Journal, a local newspaper in Pensacola, Florida. One of their columnists a few weeks back, he wrote a column where he mentioned some negative things about the Walmart company, about how they... pay very little to many of their employees, and many of their employees end up having to go on to welfare, food stamps, Medicaid, you know, various public service programs to survive. And he used that as a larger metaphor about his city, saying, you know, is this the sort of city, are we becoming a Walmart city where we care so little about our people? The local Walmarts in the area were unhappy about this editorial, and apparently they had a bunch of those, you know, little coin-operated newspaper boxes out in front of the News Journal. The Pensacola News Journal had a number of these coin-operated newspaper boxes in front of some of the local Walmarts, and the local Walmarts called up the paper and said, "Get your boxes out of here. We don't want you selling this anymore." And one of the managers actually went so far as to tell the editor of the paper, "If you fire that columnist, then maybe we can talk about selling your newspapers out in front again." That was last week, and of course, Pensacola News Journal went and published this story about how Walmart was doing that, And apparently they've succumbed to the pressure. Walmart has now changed their stance. And they're saying the Pensacola News Journal can once again sell their papers there. Let's see. I think that's all I'll do for the moment. And all the talking I'll do for the moment, I mean. And we'll put on a little bit more music. We got, I was torn on this one. I have two versions of this song, which are both very good. One is older. One's probably, I'm going to say 76. I'm going to say it's from 1976, even though I have no idea. The other one, 2005 version. And, we're going to go with the old classic version for now. You heard me play the other one before. This is going to be Heart doing Barracuda. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. Thanks for listening.
Like Hercules, switch the southpaw, split your right jaw, cause I don't like y'all, I'm hyper-nice. smooth, but I move like an army. Pull a few down, face brothers trying to bomb me. Putting brothers to rest like Elliot Ness. Cause I don't like stress. Streets ain't a place for innocent bystanders to stand. Nothing's gonna stop the plan. I'll chill like Pacino, kill like De Niro. Black Gambino, die like a hero. Living on shaky grounds, too close to the edge. Let's see if I know the ledge. Shells lay around on the battleground, dead bodies are found throughout the town. Try to put shame in my game to make a name. I'ma put it on a bullet, put it in your brain. Rip the block like a buckshot, who cares where it goes? Just keep the casket closed. No remorse when a life is lost. I paid my dues, I paid the cause. And my pockets are still fat. Wherever I'm at, I get the wealth from Mac. Even if my crew escape with one beat, I attract attention, people like me. So come say hi to the bad guy. Don't say goodbye, I don't plan to die. Cause I get loose, and I got troops and crazy juice. Ain't control of many, like I am told of many. Hang out with Stephen West, don't try to play me. I'm at war a lot, I don't want to die. But no war in the shop, my gun is warm a lot. When I cook beef, the smoke will never clear. Areas in fear, the edge, but I know the ledge. Time to yawn, showers on, power's on, late for school, I catch the train, girl set the style and whisper my name, I push up like an exercise, check the intellect and inspect the thighs, select the best one, pull it to the side, keep her occupied for the rest of the ride, read up my resume, she know already cool, just meet me after school, we can moan and groan until your mom come home, and you'll be calling me Aldo Capone, sweat me, she didn't want to let me loose, come get me, as if you want to sip the juice, cause the streets wait me, so I take my gun off safety. Cause a lot of niggas hate me coming out of the building. They set me up, sprayed with automatics. They wet me up in a puddle of blood. I lay close to the edge. I guess I didn't know the ledge.
gotta tell you, babe, I didn't see you turn his pictures around, face down.
Tommy Gunn, he killed to play peacekeeper man. It's a little game he learned from dad. His daddy was a peacekeeper in Iraq, pretending he's off soldiering in a distant, far-off land. He cocks his gun, he shoots you down. Murder again and again and again. Murder again and again. Murder again and again. Teaching the children a murder. Oh. Sunday morning off to church. A red-faced preacher sweating words. This fat old fuck goes on and on. Tommy learns a special lesson. thou shalt love thy neighbor, and thou shalt never kill. Void in the name of cash. Murder again and again and again. Murder again and again. Murder again and again and again. Teaching the children to murder. Standing more than the red wreck. Just like his dad and his dad sat before him, Tommy went off to fight in a war and protect his people from an inhumane race, from an out-of-sight threat in a faraway place. And just before Tommy got shot down, he stopped to think, to ask himself, are there armies also made up of the poor? Oh. Murder again and again and again. Murder again and again. Again and again and again, teaching the children a murder. How to murder.
I'm not afraid to face. You ain't never coming back. Gonna swim.
And gentlemen, you're listening to Radioactive San Diego. This is the Lying Media Bastard Show. I'm Jake. That is there was Motorhead. Motorhead on the SpongeBob SquarePants movie soundtrack. If you're puzzled by the appearance of Motorhead the metal band on that soundtrack, you'd be in a similar situation to me, although I did give it some thought. And my thinking is that, Motorhead has been around for, 30, 40, 50 years. And, touring the world, playing shows, and I figure that, at the very least, Lemmy, the singer of the band, he must have hundreds and hundreds of illegitimate children worldwide. Hundreds of ugly, ugly illegitimate children. And he just wants to give something back. So he hops on the SpongeBob SquarePants soundtrack. And hooray for everyone. For that, we had Justin Sane of Anti-Flag doing a song called Tommy Gun. It's funny, I had that album for several years, and I guess I didn't listen to the whole thing. I didn't get as far as that song. It's the last track on the album, and it's probably the best one there. Justin, you should have started the album with that track. For that, we had The Horrors doing Swoop Down. I don't know why I'm making so much noise breathing when I'm in the microphone. I gotta stop that. Yes, this is the most professional show on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. It's actually a tin can tied to a piece of string tied to a calculator, which we just duct tape it to a phone line, and somehow you're hearing it. I don't know how. Before The Horrors, we had Eric B. and Rakim doing Juice, Know the Ledge. Queens of the Stone Age doing God is in the Radio. I like them in that song. They're sort of... It's like they take sort of standard 70s rock and then fuck with it and do stuff that, following the formula of 70s rock you shouldn't do. And you get that. So it's sort of, Foghat 2005 sort of thing. But yeah, nice heavy 70s groove rock that they do weird things with. And we started off with Heart doing Barracuda. If you were curious, the alternate version of that song I was talking about playing would have been the Rasputina version. All done on cellos. But, I forgot to name one of the songs that I played in there. I played Simple Fears doing Get Out of Iraq. That was right before the Justin Sane song. That one's actually free online. I know nothing about the band. Go to simplefears.com. That's the band's website. And they have an MP3 of that song you can download. They also have a music video that they made mostly out of stills of pictures of the war and people protesting it. I would recommend checking that out because it's pretty neat. Because their whole site right now is dedicated to promoting the song, it really doesn't say anything about the band itself, so they're a mystery. Let's see. As I mentioned earlier, soon, probably right around 2 o'clock, probably within around 10 minutes or so, we'll get Amanda Marcotte on the phone from Austin, Texas, talk politics and blogs and music and writing things like that. Let's see. Oh, we got a flyer here on the wall. Let's see. Oh, this is about this would be where the kickball game would go down. Free Radio San Diego 96.9. They have created San Diego Day. Be taking place August 7th. I had to stretch and fold over the corner of the flyer to see it. 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Yard. 2125 Park Boulevard. I believe that's in Balboa Park. And it's just like a big barbecue thing. Well, I got other things to say? I do have other things to say. I'll just hit on a couple of them. Sony has settled with this payola investigation. Sony, the record label, they were paying money to radio stations to get their artists played on those stations. That's been very common knowledge that these stations have been using what they call independent promoters, where basically you are a record company, you'd hire these guys to go and bribe the radio stations. They have like this tiny bit of whatchamacallit, barrier between you and the actual crime of bribery. But it looks like Sony wasn't even bothering. They did some of that, but they also did outright bribes, gave away items to be given away in contests, offered to pay the expenses for the radio stations. But basically, you know, this is like, you know, your Sony would say, for example, they actually have quotes in this press release. This is a press release from the New York State Attorney General. He had to put up this press release about it with some quotes from some emails they got, which was where they got their evidence that this payola was going on. Let's see. 2 weeks ago, it cost us over $4,000 to get Franz Ferdinand on WKSE. That is what the four trips to Miami and hotel cost. At the end of the day, David Universal added Good Charlotte and Gretchen Wilson and hit Alex up for another grand, and they settled for $7,500. So almost $5,000 in 2 weeks for overnight airplay. Or, my favorite, for personal reasons. This is from an employee of Epic Records trying to promote to a Clear Channel. It says, "What do I have to do to get Audio Slave on WKSS this week? Whatever you can dream up, I can make it happen." let's see. But yeah, it just looks like a lot of, illegal stuff going on. And I believe Clear Channel actually swore off of the independent promoter thing to prevent payola a few months ago, which doesn't sound like them, of course, except that there was an ongoing investigation about payola in the record industry. So I imagine it was sort of like a Clear Channel. it was like they were inside a house, setting the house on fire, and the police are outside, and they say, "We promise not to set any more fires."
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we are going to give this a try. I've got Amanda on the phone. Let me fiddle with the levels. Amanda, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can.
And let me see how I can... am I hearing you? Hold on a second. Can you say something again? I'm trying to see if I hear you through the headphones.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, this seems to be working out. So would you introduce yourself to the audience? I did not get a little bio thing from you to announce you.
Not a whole lot to say. I'm Amanda Marcotte, one of the two bloggers at Pentagon.net. I used to be at Mouseworth, which is my own blog, but Pentagon is a bit bigger audience, so I went ahead and went over there. I write about politics, feminism, music, cats, whatever.
So what made you first want to start writing on the net, or writing at all, I suppose?
So that I quit boring my friends with my rant.
I see. So this was an act of selfless nobility that you started writing.
Yes. I was getting vented out on the public and therefore be more pleasant.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, first thing I wanted to ask you about is Texas itself, since you're from Austin. Like all Southern Californians, I have no concept of geography. We figure that we're the most important part of the world, so we don't need to know where any place else is. And just with Texas, I just have the stereotype in my head of, cowboy hats and oil rigs and maybe chili.
That's actually pretty close to where I grew up, actually. It was Texas. So the cowboy hats, people still wear them here, but it's not as big a deal. Here and there, where I grew up in West Texas, my family still lives around Midland, which is actually where the president's from.
Oh, nice.
There are oil rigs everywhere, but most of them do not actually function at this point in time. If you drive out there, you won't see them going up and down. Austin is in the hill country. Our major industry here is the university and politics. A lot more liberal, extremely.
Right.
We actually went for Kerry.
Oh, your county did, huh?
Yeah, my county did. We were one of the four or five Texans that were blue.
So, and you haven't been lynched by the rest of the state yet? They haven't come to set you on fire?
Yeah, I think they'd like to, but
I see.
Texans, even the most rascally Republican Texans, they tend to. Figure as long as you don't get it, don't do your thing in their backyard, they don't really care.
I see. Okay. Now the just specifically in Austin, every once in a while when I talk with folks from different cities, I kind of like seeing what sort of the political issues that are big in that city are. What are the hot button issues for you folks locally?
Well, just being kind of liberal, if you will, as it is, very, very big on environmentalism, and also we have a lot of civic pride. Most of Austin is from somewhere else or refugees, so we take a lot of pride in making the city our own.
Mm-hmm.
So you take those two together, the politics that tend to tear the city up are anti-development, pro-environmental, this constant push-pull over sort of defining what kind of city this is going to be. Is it going to be typical middle America malls and pollution city, or are we going to actually keep it clean and interesting?
Okay, and now two technical things here. One, is that beeping coming from your phone?
That was my fault. I'm sorry.
Okay, and then one of my listeners wrote in and asked if you could speak a little louder.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. I'm sorry. I might have to beat this one more time.
Okay. No, this is casual. Doesn't matter.
Okay, got it.
Now, on your
blog... New phone.
I see. Now, you'd mentioned on your blog before about the real world being filmed in Austin. I was wondering if you actually had any contact with them or if you had any stories about the MTV taking over your city.
The closest I got to knowing much about, like, what happened, I didn't see. But a few people I know saw them walking around downtown, and they always laughed about what a big joke it was about, you know, supposedly the real world. They can't go anywhere that they don't have a huge camera falling behind them and a producer with a clipboard. And, you know, they basically stuck to the clubs downtown that are bigger, they could actually get the camera equipment in and would let the film inside.
Uh-huh.
And those are not the clubs I get to.
Yeah, that was going to be my next one. I wondered if they had ruined any of the places that you called home, but no, I'm glad to hear that they kept their distance.
Yeah, they got into, apparently the funniest part about it was the first episode, like really soon after they got here, they went downtown and got completely tore up, and somebody, one of them got in a fight,
mm-hmm.
and got punched, and broke, his face got broken. and unfortunately, the city people here were kind of rooting for the guy who beat him up.
that's funny. You think that, like, if the guy's face got broken, they'd immediately have to replace him with somebody pretty again. I don't know if you can have people that have been disfigured on MTV. Unless they're about to be operated on. They have a number of those shows that are kind of scary.
Yeah, they did show them in the doctor's office, I think, but yeah, I mean, there was a lot of hostility to them coming. You know, it was the same as in other cities like Philadelphia and Chicago. You know, I don't know what to say. I guess the thing is, you know, we don't want people thinking that our city is a bunch of 18-year-olds getting drunk all the time. I mean, that's part of our city.
There you go. It's a subsection of Austin.
Yeah. Talking about the defining character.
Now, let's see here. Going through my list of questions. Something you've been mentioning on your site a number of times lately. You know, you obviously speak a lot about the issues of sexism, but to me, it seems lately you've been using the term male privilege. More often. Could you talk about what you mean by that and give some examples for folks who don't feel like making up their own?
That's a bit of university speakage there, but it's a really great term. Male privilege is the concept that one kind of person is privileged above another just for being who they are. You know, that was actually a term, you know, obviously it goes back to the notion that the wealthy are privileged, you know, but, you know, it's been expanded to, like, look at different groups and what kind of ways they have, you know, it's not exactly dominance per se, it's just the ability to do and have things that are denied to other people for who they are. So, you know, examples of male privilege would be the ability to walk by yourself down a dark street at night without being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the certain Lindsay Berestein at, I can't never pronounce the name of her blog, had a really great example for somebody who didn't understand the concept. She went into a gym and she saw some fat old guys on the workout machines watching the women in the aerobics room, and they were like talking about them loudly, their bodies, what they look like. You know, women can't get away with that. That, you know, that's an example of male privilege, you know, the ability to treat, like, any woman you see on the street as yours to peruse and evaluate. You know, and I mean, there, and of course, you know, this, actually I was just reading about this, like, Supreme Court nomination. Another male privilege that popped into my head is the privilege to be treated like you're the standard bearer. You know, I was just rereading an article by David Brooks who said that he was glad that John Roberts got nominated and the era of tokenism was over, as if John Roberts isn't a token of a white guy.
Yeah, somehow there's no such thing as a token white guy, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Well, of course, all white guys in those positions are token white guys. You know, but it's a privilege to not be treated as if you're special, as if you have a right to be there.
Exactly.
So those are just good examples of how that would work.
Now, by sheer coincidence, next week I actually have another interview with a fellow named Tim Wise, who he often speaks about the white privilege. So we're going to have some talk about male privilege. Next week it's some white privilege. It'll be a privilege-talking show. Now, since you mentioned Roberts for the Supreme Court, what can you tell me about him? I haven't done that much research on him personally. I thought you might know a thing or two.
Well, I don't even have to do all that much research. One nice thing about having a popular blog is people just send you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great that I can actually just sort of sit on my ass and read whatever people send me. But, he's a vile right-winger. There's no doubt about it. I'm a little irritated right now. In fact, a little is not the word. I'm extremely irritated that some liberals are doing the whole letting them be grabbed by the nose by conservatives and follow along with this whole line that we have to, you know, not assume anything about what kind of decisions he's going to make and assume that he means well and his ideologies are going to influence his legal thinking.
Because it never does.
That's clearly bull.
Right.
You know, I've already put bets out on Pentagon. You know, if he ever.
Are you there? Did I lose you? Are you getting a bad signal? I can't hear you. Guess I'll have to call you back. Hold on. Ah, there you are.
Okay, folks, I guess we're going to have to, gotta turn that down. I was going to say, oh, wait, that's probably Amanda there. Hold on. Hello?
Hey, I have no idea why that happened. Sorry.
I think John Roberts heard you, and he's angry.
He cut me off.
That's within his power. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how cynical the Republicans have been. It's like they're not trying to find anybody who's like a good candidate for this position. They try to find the guy who has no record so that Democrats can't argue about the guy's record.
Yeah, and of course, they've been priming people with this whole fake belief that it's inappropriate to ask somebody their personal views. You know, when you're putting them on in a judgmental position, which to my mind is complete bull. I mean, if you're sitting on a jury, they ask you if you're for the death penalty. I mean, I don't see why it should be different. You know, to a certain degree, I can understand that. But, you know, if somebody's just completely crazy, I think people have a right to know.
Well, and by the way, you can swear on here. This is internet radio. I heard you say bull, and I wondered if you'd wanted to use other words.
Yeah, good. I've done a couple other radio shows. Don't crush.
Right. No, we got no limitation.
Cool.
But yeah, and then with this fellow, I mean, it's just funny. My brother right now is in law school, and just like in some of the first year of law school, his professors are telling him how the Supreme Court, it's nothing to do with law. It's all about ideology. That the people who are there, you know, they make their decisions based on what they think and feel, and then, you know, figure out what law to justify it with later. You know, the professors are saying they can exactly predict how somebody's gonna decide on a case by knowing their political beliefs.
Yeah, and Justice Scalia, who's probably going to end up being the Chief Justice, you know, he makes no bones in his decisions about what his ideology is, and he goes on rant in some of his decisions about why he thinks this behavior or that is criminal or immoral, or, you know, it's clearly silly. So, I don't know. Then the fact that his wife is an anti-abortion activist, I think, should basically just make him ineligible. You know, he'd have to recuse himself from any case involving abortion if he was even remotely honest.
Yeah, but that's not likely to happen, full honesty. I got some music here that you sent me over the wonders of the internet. And I got a little bit queued up here. What can you tell us about, I'm not sure if, which is the title of the song, which is the band title. It says Amplified Heat Bipolar.
The band's called Amplified Heat. The song is called Bipolar.
Okay, what can you tell me about them?
a local awesome band. I mean, they're somewhat famous around here, but I don't think they're signed to a record label or anything. They're just really great band. They're these three guys from San Antonio. They're brothers, actually. They've been playing together since they were little kids. And therefore, they're really tight. They're kind of a southern-esque 60s garage rock. And they just put on, like, the most completely badass shows. Like, they basically built a fan base in no time flat from just putting on these just excellent shows and playing constantly. They're nice guys, and I just like more people hear about them, so I sent them some song. Okay.
All right, well, I'm going to play them now, and we'll come back and talk with you a little bit more later. you and I can talk silently while the music's going, and so the audience can't hear us. So here's Bipolar by Amplified Heat. Amplified Heat doing Bipolar. We got Amanda Marcotte on the phone from writer for the website Pandagon.net. Say hello.
Hey.
Just want to make sure you're still there.
Okay.
Let's see here. So I got my list of questions. One of the things that with your site that was really great for me was just a couple of like really simple you deflated a couple of long-term arguments just, you know, with a wave of your hand. One of them, you were talking about abortion, that there's this sort of pro-life, you know, we don't call them pro-life, arguments that life begins at conception, and therefore, you know, all forms of abortion or whatever, you know, you're killing babies. But you brought up that actually, I think medically, pregnancy does not occur until a fertilized egg implants itself in the uterus.
That's correct. Yeah, a woman's body doesn't even register that, you know, anything's happened until that happens.
So, I mean, I've got no idea, you know, what the ratio is of fertilized eggs that get implanted to not. But, I mean, that means that that pro-life argument is just null and void.
Some estimates are as high as 80% of fertilized eggs slough off on their own.
Okay. So, but, no, I mean, and I'd never heard anyone say that before. I mean, it seems like that should be, like, a very... People should be mentioning that a lot more, I think, in arguments about abortion.
Yeah, and it was something that I think a lot of people kind of forgot until this, like, entire thing about emergency contraception came about, because the anti-choicers, if you will, are trying to attack birth control by arguing that it is an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to say that it keeps fertile eggs planting while ignoring that if basically what they're hoping will happen is knowing that a certain percentage of fertilized eggs don't implant anyway, they can convince people that's happening because of the pill, that's happening because of emergency contraception, when it's actually not. You know, that just happens no matter what. You know, and these emergency contraception pills prevent women from ovulating, but if you do, you're going to get pregnant. There's not really much you can do about that. So I think that's, you know, but... They're probably screwed the pooch on that one, because people are going to just want to find out the facts, and that's a fact that's kind of coming out.
So what's wrong with these people? I just don't understand just the let's ban all abortions, let's ban all birth control. It's, there just seems to be like this element of insanity to it.
Yeah, there's the at the navel of it, I think there is a certain level of insanity. Why it tends to happen in more places than not. they're just control freaks. I mean, ultimately, that's, you know, if I was going to say, I would say it's a control freak issue. You know, having grown up around a lot of Bible thumping, you know, that becomes pretty apparent. You know, when you know a lot of people that are deeply involved in this, they're just nosy. They want to control what their neighbors are doing. And there really isn't a whole lot else to it. You know, they come up with these highfalutin arguments about it, but, you know, ultimately it just comes down to they're nosy and can't mind their own business.
Yeah. I think Gore Vidal had this great quote that was something like, America was founded on this idea of people being free to do whatever they want, but the fact that some people want to be free to control what their neighbors are doing does complicate matters a bit.
Exactly. He cuts to the chase quickly.
Now, do you think, I mean, to me, it also seems with the abortion thing that, like, you know, obviously there's a control issue, but it also seems that there's, like, this punishment angle, that somehow it's like women who are sexually active, who get pregnant, that having to have the child and raise the child for 18 years, that's punishment. You know, like, that'll teach you to be having sex. It, to me, sometimes that seems like a larger or a greater desire on the position for these anti-abortion folks than the control issue.
Even putting it that way, I would say beyond even that, it's a punishment for just simply being female.
Mm, okay.
You know, I really do think that there's a lot of that going on, because they know that it's not that 99% of women are going to have sex at some point in their life. You know, so, you know, their own wives do. And, you know, I think there's a lot of that going on, too. So it's sort of like all women deserve to be punished, but some of them are just a little better than others because they behave, and, you know, they're easier to control.
I see. Since they're easier to control, maybe you don't have to punish them.
You know, they still have to have children and raise them. I mean, look at how Rick Santorum, you know, keeps knocking his wife up. I mean, I'm sure she wants those many children, but, you know, at a certain point, that's just punishing having one after another.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. And then one of the other points, you wrote a sort of a series on your site about the fathers' rights movement, if we can call it that, and that, you know, that they go work on this belief that somehow, so, you know, our society is anti-male by now, and that the evidence of this is when, you know, when couples get divorced, that the children, custody of the children almost, you know, usually goes to the, you know, the woman who is in the marriage. And then you just pointed out very simply that in, I'm not sure if it's federally or just in most states, that the custody of the child usually goes to the primary caregiver, which is, you know, nearly always the mother. So that's not any sort of, you know, it's not evil judges that are out to punish the men. It's just, you know, sort of reality plus the law.
Yeah. Well, and they also, those men's rights activists point to the statistics without acknowledging that most couples don't even go to court. Most couples decide that on their own without having to get a lawyer involved.
Really?
You know, so they say, okay, 90%, well, I'm pulling that number out of my ass, but if you were, you know, if, even if 90% of kids went to the mother, you have to also acknowledge that 80% of cases don't go to court at all, that the father just lets her have custody without fighting it.
I see.
So, you know, they're pointing to, they're making it sound like every divorce is contentious, every, you know, every custody case is contentious when the vast majority are not.
And the impression I get is that a lot of these guys in the, you know, the father's rights movement, that they are guys who went through contentious divorces. And there's probably just like a lot of personal emotional bitterness within all that.
Believe me, after I did that series, I got letter after letter after letter from them. I mean, for weeks, my mailbox would just fill up with these. And most, you know, half of them were just hate mail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's mean, nasty diatribes about evil feminists.
Right.
The other half were these just pathetic stories, like these guys, like, you know, we had three kids, and I didn't even know it was coming, and she kicked me out of the house, and I have to pay $300 a month child support, and blah, blah, blah.
And therefore the court system is biased.
Yeah. You know, and you know, they want me to feel sorry for them, but, you know, what am I supposed to say? Write them back and be like, oh, yeah, you're right. You're a man. That thing should never happen to you.
Yeah. Now, vaguely kind of, sort of along those lines, I have to keep jumping to different topics because I didn't have a set of questions that flow well. On your site, this was more on Mousewords, your first blog, but you would, the story that you told was that you'd check your email on Hotmail, and then there'd be all these links that, you know, that MSN would want you to click on, since you were on their page already, and there'd be there would frequently be these, like, dating tips.
Oh, yeah.
And then you would write these pieces, like, ripping those to shreds because they were often, you know, stupid and or sexist and or dangerous. And I'm just wondering, like, if you can recall what would be one of the, like, worst bits of dating advice that you saw on there during that time.
Well, that's probably a really, really tough question. So I'll answer it in a backwards way and sort of say that, like, the thing is, like, I noticed after doing it for a while, there were only about five, like, basic formats. You know, And always, 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 it kind of boiled down. Like, the worst piece of advice that you would always see repeatedly in all the ones, especially aimed at women, was to just stare at somebody if you wanted them to like you. And I know what they were getting at. They're trying to encourage women to kind of do this, like, this big, wide-eyed, you know, everything you say is completely fascinating, I worship you kind of look.
I see. Okay.
You know, but they didn't want to phrase it that way. So it would come off as if they were saying to sort of hypnotize them with your eye.
Right.
And I'm like, no, he's just going to wonder if he's got spinach in between his teeth, really.
So this is basically, they're saying that, you know, the woman that you're already talking to, the guy, and a way to make him like you from that point is to give him these looks as though, he's more man than man. And then that will feed his ego, and therefore he'll like you.
It probably works for a short period of time until he realizes you're messing with him.
Yeah, and at first I thought you were saying, like, I was thinking of, you know, like, everybody's at the bar, you know, you're at the bar and you see somebody across the room and then you just stare at them. That's what you were saying, the advice was them all. That, I don't know if that would work.
In dating advice columns, that's the other thing. I remember this very clearly. You're supposed to use the method that you use to get a cat to come to you across the room, which is you look at them and then you look away and then like pretend like you're not paying attention.
That works on cats? I've never found anything.
It works great on cats.
Wow.
I don't know.
I've never found anything that moves a cat except like picking it up.
Oh, that actually will work on the cat. You just look at him and then look away like you're not paying attention.
Hmm.
It works on cats. It doesn't work on men.
Oh, okay. So their audience, Amanda has tested that one out for you. That one does not work, so you can go ahead and ignore that one. Now, also, this was something that you and some other bloggers had been writing about this on your sites, about the issue of nice guys. I'm putting that definitely in quotes. Who feel that women don't want nice guys, and that one really bothered me a lot of times when I read that. You know, well, first of all, it was something. I think you were sort of talking about a certain sort of fellow who claimed to be nice, but probably wasn't. But just reading that again, it bothered me, and I finally realized that it was like. Basically, all these women who were talking about their problems with these nice guys, it was like they were going back in time and, like, kicking poor 16-year-old Jake, lonely and heartbroken. I was a nice guy, really.
But, that's me. That's probably a little bit true.
That's why it bothered me, but, I mean, it's at a certain point, you know, I sort of realized that, you know, being nice or being mean has got nothing to do with nothing. It's about chemistry between individuals. For any sort of relationship, you know, maybe if you're a young fella, you might believe in some sort of, you know, karma that, you know, since you are a nice person, you are entitled to a nice life, which would mean a nice romantic relationship with somebody. But then after a while, you sort of see reality and say, oh, okay, there's no sort of... nobody gets whatever they deserve or don't deserve. Things just happen.
I think it went off in that philosophical direction, but the main thing I think that it pisses women off about that particular whining,
yes.
I'm a nice guy, is the girl that the guy saying that wants is generally not a nice girl. You know, he wants her because she's beautiful, and he wants women to quit being so shallow and like him because he's nice.
Right. Yeah, and
I think that's, you know, I think that it was more the inequity of...
Are you still there? Or did I lose you again? I think I lost you again. I can't hear you. So, guess it's time for some more music. Amanda, call me back.
Okay, we're turning off the phone there. And I'm going to play... This is another song that... Or maybe I'll just answer the phone.
Hello.
I'm sorry. I don't know why it's doing that.
That's all right. Well, yeah, let's see. Yeah, continue, sorry.
Sorry?
Yeah, go ahead and continue. I was going to look at my own notes and comment on what you said, but I thought, nah.
Oh, no, that was basically it. It got really funny. I thought, like, the funniest part was, you know, I was like, after a while, I realized the issue was that we were all fighting out whether Lloyd Dobler from Say Anything was a great guy or a massive asshole, and asshole side.
Everybody was dancing around the true issue.
Yeah, the John Hughes
film.
Movie.
Exactly. But yeah, and then I also thought that. Well, I don't know. I mean, so you're thinking that. I guess in the descriptions though, that I was reading in that discussion, that there seemed to be, you know, the fellow who thought he was nice but really was a manipulative asshole. And but then there also seemed to be another argument that there were guys who thought they were nice, but the reason that nobody was interested in them wasn't because, you know, they were nice and they wanted somebody, you know, mean, that, but just that sometimes what a guy might consider nice is sort of coincides with being passive and not speaking your opinion and and sort of, you know, almost being, you know, transparent in hopes that you're not going to offend somebody or make them see something in you that they don't like.
Yeah, I think, and then that got conflated with just being shy, you know, which is its own thing. But even that, being passive and transparent, you know, there were a couple people who were like, well, you know, you don't want to offend women, and but that makes it sound like the things you would say would be offensive.
Well, no, I guess I'm thinking if you really are shy or very fearful, maybe you don't want to say anything in fear of, offend isn't the right word, but just sort of like, you know, like maybe if you started speaking up about what you liked and what you wanted to do, that person might find out that they disagree with you, they don't share your tastes, and suddenly your relationship is that much further away than the non-existent relationship that you currently have.
Yeah, I definitely think that there are a lot of people, male and female, that are shy and afraid of rejection, but they usually don't tend to blame the entire opposite sex for the problem.
No, I think there's a lot of blame. I think at one point or another, all of us will blame the entire opposite sex for the one person who dumped us or said no.
This is true. We shouldn't be judged by our worst moments. That's true.
Yeah. But let's throw another song on here. This is one you sent me, Ugly Beats KO'd.
Yes,
we
were trying to remember what song I had sent you. Ugly Beats. These are another Austin band. They're 60s, kind of esque, like but not like Amplified Heat, where it's just esque. They're very 60s. They wear their mod garage rock influence pretty much right on their sleeve. And I really like them. They remind me of, like, the Animals, but they put on completely great shows with everyone dancing and stuff. And they're a lot of fun, so... And they all can play real well, so that's why I sent it to you. So.
Okay, and do a lot of people dance to the music at the Austin shows? I just, you know, I spent a number of years living in L.A. where nobody would dance to anything.
Yes. People here do not put on that, not at all. I mean, there's always someone who won't, but I definitely think people crowd around the stage and dance around and act like fools, and they don't really care here.
Okay. I'll put the song on, and then we'll talk a little bit more after that. This is KO'd by Ugly Beats. I should remind everybody, this is Radioactive San Diego, Lying Media Bastards radio show. I'm Jake. The other end of the phone, we got Amanda from Pandagon.net. And here's music.
I'm gonna make it.
everybody. We are back on the air. Amanda Marcotte from Pandagon.net. That was just Ugly Beats doing a song called KO'd. And yeah, we've gone on. We've been talking to you about your thoughts and opinions on political issues and sexism and whatnot. And I know you from your website, but we haven't said anything about your website. Go ahead and tell our audience about your website.
Pandagon, yes, we're a pretty high traffic blog. It's me and Jesse Taylor. Jesse started it. I'm a latecomer and a source of much tumult and controversy.
You know, I really like Jesse. I liked his stuff a lot. I think I'm, you know, more politically radical than he is, but he's usually a good and funny writer. And for a while he had Ezra Klein on the blog as well. I didn't like him so much. I thought he was a bit of a putz. So much of what he said was like, you know, we're Democrats. This is what we got to do as Democrats. And I'm thinking, just stop it.
Yeah, I'm not a Democrat, no.
You can even be a Democrat and not, like, worry so much about the party line. Just sort of say what you feel and go for it. But no, so I was very happy to see you join there, although it did mean sort of the death or hiatus of Mousewords, which I was already a fan of, so.
Well, Mousewords is me, so I didn't really, you know, see that there would be any much difference there.
True.
So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of weird. I asked Jesse when I moved over if, like, you know, if I just did Mousewords at Pandagon, that'd be fine. And he's like, yeah, I love Mousewords. That's why I asked you. You know, it was funny. There were some squawkers. The funniest thing about it is that, you know, it was really eye-opening for me to find out how sexist some liberal men are. I mean, that was horrible. That was really, that induced a lot of angst in me. You know, I guess I just sort of assumed that wouldn't be true for reasons that, to me now, don't seem entirely clear. And, you know, they did not like having a woman on the site. They especially did not like having a feminist on the site.
Yeah, like, I guess I can understand they're not liking a feminist on the site, just like in name, since, you know, feminism has such this bad reputation from people not exactly knowing what it is, or thinking they know what it is, and you know, that it's anti-man. But the idea that just even having a woman do the writing, they were opposed to that?
Well, no one's ever going to come right out and say that.
Right, of course, of course.
You know, but there was a number of insults that were aimed at me just for being female, you know. That was really completely out of line.
Right.
And, you know, but I, you know, it's definitely changed now. And things are really nice. Once in a while, occasionally, I'll have a tussle with somebody that thinks he's liberal and just, you know, he's liberal right up until, you know, he's protecting male dominance.
What, it being an easier going, did any of that have to do with banning people who were sexist assholes?
No, actually, I've only banned a handful of people, and
okay.
All of them were complete.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that, then, as opposed to you had to force out the people to get a nicer crowd.
No, and I think, you know, banning a couple of the right-wing trolls, you know, has worked out real well, because they used to, you know, no matter how much you tell people not to talk to them, they just hijack a thread.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's boring blog stuff.
stop. Like when you're reading the news to be informed to, you know, write about certain issues or what have you, where do you go? I assume a lot of it is online sources.
Yeah, pretty much our Red Outlet, but generally, reading, or I don't like writing about news items that I don't have a link to, because I feel like, you know, the audience should at least have a chance to read the source that you're getting it from, instead of, like, just assume that your viewpoint is the correct one, and, you know, they can just go, yeah, news items, and because it's mission, instead of just being, well, this is what I think, end of story. And, yeah, and then, of course, what's always fun is to troll the conservative site and find some odious piece of awful writing and just make fun of it.
I forgot about that part of it. Yeah, yeah, you, on Pentagon, an awful lot from you and Jesse of finding just the craziest conservatives and taking them to task.
Sadly, these are mainstream sources that we get a lot of that stuff out of, I'm afraid. Like, Jesse wrote something today about, you know, just threatened by this woman who was just vile and racist. And it was just awful, you know, picked off the floor and racist. And it was at town hall. It's a pretty bad fight, but it's also...
Are you there? Are you there? Oh, Lordy. I can't hear you, Amanda. Give me a call back. As I
said, low phone technology here at Radioact.
Ella.
It's all right. I keep hanging up on me, so.
Okay. So you were talking about the town hall piece?
Yeah. We pick on them a lot because they're crazy. But they're really popular, and I think it's important that people really understand that this is not fringe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those columns that we make fun of get printed, reprinted in mainstream news sources and local papers around the country.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons I like based on right-wing talk radio, where I think if you're a conservative, you know, talking your piece and it's, you know, the ether, record it and put your words right out there for everybody, permanent format.
Well, I started
studying Rush Limbaugh stuff for a research assistant.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, my favorite, though, two favorite bits with Rush Limbaugh. One, there was, he was talking about some sort of, you know, anti-war protesters for whatever war was going on at the time, some years back. And he was saying, you know, those dope-smoking, tree-hugging, where actually I didn't have a summary. And there was some guy who just, he'd write these summaries of Rush Limbaugh broadcast based on popcorn. So Rush popcorn butter tasting kind and blah, page like the, and like two or
probably got paid off, I'm sure of it.
And it was, he started going and then he like, then they cut to a commercial and then he came back and he apologized for talking so much about that and then he started going again. So you're a crazy man. Oh, and then another time he claimed that after the election Clinton was going to refuse to leave office. He was going to call out the army and he was going to stage a coup. Them all. Probably not. We're real short on time. I want to play this last song by that you sent me. Produce.
Cool band. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Keep coming out. They are very interesting. They do like folk, waltz, dance, all through rock music. They have five members. You know, the name makes them have six, but really they just have five. And, again, they're small, they're not on the label. They're putting together an album right now. This is off an EP that they gave me. So hopefully soon I'll be able to, they'll be able to generate somehow a full-length album. But this isn't necessarily my favorite song of theirs, but it was the only one I could actually get in MP3 format, so it's a good one.
All right, play them, and thank you, Amanda Markup, Pentagon.net, and Austin, Texas, expert from living there forever. Thank you for coming on the show. I certainly appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
And, yeah, no problem, and I will talk to you soon, and perhaps we'll have you on again in the future.
Oh, that'd be great.
Impatient mind, shakes.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jake, Lying Media Bastards radio program. That was just Mr. Lewis and the Funeral Five doing... Oh, I can't read it from here. March of the Big Q, I think it was called. I'd like to thank Amanda Marcotte for coming on the show. I'd never spoken to her before. I hope that didn't make anything awkward for anybody listening. The fact that two strangers are talking. Next week, as I mentioned in the interview, we're going to have Tim Wise, anti-racist activist and writer. Speaks a lot about white privilege. He's actually very good at talking about white racism to white people, which is hard to do. Anyhow, Democracy Now! Is on next. Let me pop on a song for you before I go, and see you all next week. If you want more politics and stuff, go to my site, lyingmediabastards.com.